this idea, thinking that we need to have different hearts. I need to have a desire to have God's heart. Now, some of you know me, and I've had, you know, heart cath and stents put in and balloon procedures and all of that. And so, yeah, I'd like a new heart. I'd like one that doesn't have all those issues. But that's not what we're talking about, is it? What is the heart? I would just like to suggest to you that Jesus talks about the heart as well in many different passages. Where I would like for you to go is actually to Matthew chapter 15, and there we will see a little bit about the heart of God, or the heart that God talks about through Jesus in a specific situation. You remember when the Jews came to Jesus and they say to him, "Why do your disciples violate the tradition of the elders by eating without washing their hands?" That's a big deal to the Jews, right? "You're defiling yourselves by not washing your hands." And Jesus comes back at them and asks them questions. Why do you break the commandment of God in verse 3 and for the sake of your tradition? And he goes into this teaching about it's not what goes into your body that defiles you, but what comes out of the body that defiles you. And in that teaching, he specifically mentions in verse 8 a passage from Isaiah that says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. They are teaching things that are merely human rules." And so by telling these people, "You don't have the heart, you're just giving me lip service," God says, "you are teaching your own commandments," he basically is telling these children of Abraham, "You're not after God's heart. Your hearts are far from me." You ever feel that way? That your heart's just not where it needs to be with God. And you know, the question then is, what do I do? How do I change that? And for me, it's like, you know, I'm almost dyslexic at this point in time. You know what dyslexia is? I don't see, we have some speech therapists back there. When you have dyslexia, my understanding is that the muscles in your eyes just don't always work right. And sometimes when you're reading, you get ahead. And so you come up to something like the name of God, and because your eyes are bouncing and all of this, you sometimes read it backwards. So God becomes a dog. And sometimes in my life, my want to is to be like God, and I want my worship to be better. And so what I do is I start doing things backwards in order to get there. Are you with me on that? I want a better worship. So what do? I want to change my worship so that I can have a better relationship with God. But if the word worship means to kiss toward, if I want to kiss toward God, I shouldn't go changing things in order to change that within myself. You see, I've got it backwards. Cart before the horse syndrome. I need my heart changed. And then it overflows from my heart. Look at what happens when Peter in verse 15 comes and tells Jesus, explain this parable about things coming out of the heart instead of eating with washed hands. Verse 16, are you still so dull? Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? It's basic biology, right? But things that come out of a person's mouth come from where? From the heart. And these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. Finish the scripture for me. As a man thinketh, so is he. Remember what Saul said when he offered the sacrifice? I thought. What did Jesus just say about what comes out of the heart? Is it not that he said, out of the heart come evil thoughts? So when I read about a man named David, who just, by the way, his name is used more times in Scripture than Abraham, Moses, even Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself is called a son of David at least 12 times. Here's a man who is very renowned. And I wonder, is he not so renowned, not because of what he did, but because of the heart that he had? And I look at his life, and quite honestly, I scratch my head sometimes. We know his greatest achievement, seemingly, he killed the giant, right? He had that much faith. And we love that story. And we know his lowest points. His sin and the consequences and what he reaped within his own family because of the sins that he had. And the plagues that came upon the people because of his own thoughts and his own heart desires. And I look at that and I say, God, here is a man. And that's exactly what he is. He's a man. He's got my problems. He's just like me. But yet God says he's seeking a man after his own heart. So with all of the flaws, and all of the victories, and all of everything in between, David was a man who had a heart, or was seeking the heart of God. I'd like to read for you a definition, if I may. And this is I'm reading this from a little book that actually this belongs I'm not trying to embarrass her, but this belongs to my wife. It's, maybe you have seen this. She got this at a Women Walking with God workshop from J.L. Gerhardt. And quite honestly, I started reading it, and it's a little disturbing at first of a read. I would recommend that you have somebody to talk to if you start reading on this one. But here is a definition, if I may, of the heart. Scriptural definition. Baker's Evangelical Dictionary of Biblical Theology, that's the book, defines it this way. The heart denotes a person's center for both physical and emotional, intellectual, moral activities. Easton's Bible Dictionary says, according to the Bible, the heart is the center of not only spiritual activity, but of all the operations of human life. And isn't that basically what Jesus is saying? Out of the heart come thoughts, and those evil thoughts lead to actions, multiple actions, which are sinful. I struggle with sin. Do you? I struggle with sin, and I want to correct it, and so I sometimes just try to lift myself up and change my behavior. And I fail. Because, again, I'm doing it backwards. What I have to do is change my heart. I have to change my heart so that my actions flow out of it. My doctors want me to change my diet. You know, that's great. The old saying is, you are what you eat. Think about what you just did during Christmas. What'd you eat? That's scary, isn't it? Well, you know, if I had been doing healthy things all along, I wouldn't be where I am today. And spiritually, if I would have been listening and desiring to have the heart of God, I wouldn't be where I am today, trying to correct the mess that we all are. You know, that's just the reality of it. But I would like to suggest that it's never too late for us to change our hearts. It's not too late to start seeking the heart of God. And there are a lot of different ways that we can do that. Philippians 4, and I believe it's verse 8, if you would please. There, I didn't give them anything, and so they're finding scriptures as we go here. You know this, don't you? The scripture? Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I'm amazed at when I go back to the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus makes some very interesting statements. He talks about the eye is the lamp of the body. And he talks about if your eye is full of light, how good that is, and that's what we should be doing. But he says if your eye is full of darkness, how great is that darkness? He talks about that if a man looks at a woman in lust, what's coming out of his heart. He's committed adultery already. He talks about that you cannot serve God and mammon. Where you put your treasure, he says, that's where your heart is also. You see, it really is that internal thing of the heart and what we look at, what we think about, who we give devotion to. What's most important to me that truly matters? And I would just like to submit to you that this year needs to be a year that I quit trying to just do things. I do need to do them. Even as Philippians 4:8 says, I need to think on those things. But I really need that change of my heart. Because one of the things that really impressed me was, how many things do you do subconsciously? Last night I didn't take my heart medications at supper time. I remembered it late. So I went in to take the medication. I walked into the kitchen and the first thing I did was walk over to the refrigerator and open the door. Why? I'm supposed to take my medication with food. It was habitual. I'd already eaten. I wasn't hungry. But I was going to eat so I could take my medication. Subconsciously, I was doing that. Have you ever gone somewhere when you're driving and you don't exactly remember when you turned or why you turned, but you did turn and you got to where you needed to be? We do that subconsciously. Perhaps spiritually, if we had a heart that was like the heart of God, we would naturally, subconsciously, constantly, habitually do His will. I don't know if that makes sense. I don't even know if it's true. But I just know there's a lot going on in this brain, in my thinking, in my heart, that comes out when I don't mean for it to. And so I need to change that heart. One last chapter, that sounds like me. One last verse, and we're going to offer an invitation. James says this, as soon as I get there. Yeah. In James chapter 4, let's begin with verse 6. James chapter 4, verse 6. James says, talking about God, but He gives us more grace. You see that? He gives us more grace. And that's right after he talks about being friends with the world. You become an enemy with God. James, though, changes from punishment. He changes to the subject of grace. That's the heart of God. This is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. And now read these words, not judgingly, not accusatively, not with harshness, but with the grace of God, the love of God, the caring of God. Read these verses. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord. And here's the grace. And he will lift you up. He will lift you up. Jesus in the Beatitudes said, blessed are the pure of heart. That's where I want to be this year. I want to change. I want to stop trying to do things to modify myself. I want God to lift me up. And I hope that he will you as well. Thank you for your attention. If there's something in your life that you need to get straight, let your heart be opened and be changed. Make that decision to do what needs to be done in your life. And if we can help you with that, we would love to do that. We are all sinners before God, but God is full of grace and forgives us of that sin. If we can help, let us know as we sing this song of encouragement.